Okay, good morning. We are dealing with the topic of purging out an earthenware vessel and the idea that in theory you could purge out an earthenware vessel, but if you'd put the coals inside, but then maybe you're worried that you're not going to do it the right way because maybe it'll break. But in theory, earthenware can also be purged out. The Gemara asks, if earthenware can be purged out, things that are normally their heat is inside, so then they do get purged out by putting the heat inside again. So asks the Gemara, Elakdero shel mikdash amai yishaberu. So why is it that earthenware vessels are broken in the temple? Just put coals in them and purge them out again, you know, redo them, redo the kiln. Why do you have to break an earthenware vessel? Take an earthenware vessel, put it back into the oven and reburn it out. Answers the Gemara, in theory we could, but the answer is Amar Abzeira, let's put it back into the kilns. Let's put them back into the ovens. Redo them. There's a technical problem. We can't make any big ovens in which to make earthenware in Yerushalayim, because such big ovens would produce a lot of smoke, and the smoke would make the wall of Yerushalayim ugly. We don't want Yerushalayim to be blackened with smoke, so there is a takana not to have earthenware manufacturing in Yerushalayim. Earthenware manufacturing was outside of Yerushalayim, so that's why if you have an item with sacred tastes absorbed into it, we don't have the option of taking the earthenware and redoing the earthenware, because we don't have a place to redo the earthenware in Yerushalayim. So ask the Gemara, Amar Abayis. Abayis, well, so then what's your alternative? When you have earthenware that has tastes of a carbon, you break it, b'makom kadosh, you break it in a holy place, in the Azar. That's what we had the Mishnah yesterday, that if you take it out of the temple, you have to bring it back in. If it became impure when it was out of the temple, you have to then break it and then bring it back in. So Abayis said, I don't understand. V'chiosen ashpasos ba'azara. If you're worried about the walls of Yerushalayim being blackened by smoke, and that's why the sages instituted no kilns in Yerushalayim, so is it appropriate to make garbage heaps of broken earthenware in the Beis Hamikdash? So the Gemara says, Ishtamite, this question of Abaye is based on him forgetting something basic. Haditani Shmaya Bekalnabo, something that Shmaya taught in Kalnabo was a place, and Shmaya taught was the following. Shivrei klei cheres, that when there were earthenware vessels that had taste, let's say, of a carbon chatos in it, so the earthenware vessel had to be broken. When it would be broken, b'makom kadosh, broken in the holy place, nivloin b'mkoman, the floor of the Azara had a miraculous property, it would swallow up these broken shards. So the earthenware would be taken, thrown onto the floor, broken, and then the ground itself would swallow it. This is the same thing that we have with the Truma Sadeshin. The ash that would be taken off of the Mizbeach would be taken off onto the floor, dropped on the floor, and then it would be Nivla Bimkoma. The floor itself would swallow the ashes. This is one of the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash. The floor would swallow the earthenware pieces that were broken on top of the floor.
Sounds like they had a nice vacuum cleaner on
the It was a miracle vacuum cleaner. Very good. So that's why there's no problem of making piles of broken pieces of earthenware, because there were no piles. The floor was swallowing them. But there was an issue of not having ovens throughout Yerushalayim, or earthenware making ovens, kilns in Yerushalayim. So now the Gemara says, if it's in fact true that in theory you can purge out an earthenware vessel, Allah Adam Rav Nachman or Rav Baravur. This Rav Nachman says in the name of Rav Baravur, Tana Shel Mikta Shel Mateches Hava, the oven of the temple was made of metal, Neved Zecheres. Why don't we make it of earthenware? Desekumi Bifnim. Because an oven is going to be heated on the inside. And we said at the end of yesterday's blot that that which is heated inside has so much heat that the heat itself can take tastes out of earthenware. It's only that which is heated from the outside doesn't have enough heat to take the tastes out. So 1 second. So the ovens of the temple should have been earthenware too. So the man answers, no. Since you need the oven of the temple to bake the shtei halechem and to bake the lechem apanim, and their baking is what's sanctifying them, afiyasan betanur, kdushasan betanur, what consecrates them, what makes them holy, is their being baked in the temple, in this oven. So that makes the oven havalu klei shares. That makes the oven into a ministering utensil, into a klei shares. Klei shares tacharas lo avdinan. Ministering utensils can't be made out of earthenware; they have to be made out of metal. Please.
But this contradicts what we've learned previously: that earthenware, if it gets tuma, it has to be broken. It can't be
right.
Tashed.
Yeah, that's
now
the point.
It kind of sounds like it can be tashed.
That's exactly right. That's right. That's what the Gemara. That's why the Gemara has all these questions. That's all based on what we saw at the end of yesterday, that
so earthenware can really be kashered. It just
according to this so far, what we've seen in this opinion, that it could be.
We're not holding the coals.
So we say it has to be metal.
Rabbi, they couldn't heat it up and
we're saying that that yes, libun, purging with the fire, with coals, would work for earthenware, for those utensils that are normally have earthenware on the inside, have heat on the inside. The reason why they had to use metal was for a different reason, because the oven had to serve as a ministering utensil. So ministering utensils can only be made out of metal. Again, this whole thing is based on the very end of what we learned yesterday. Go back to Tzadi Hamid Beis. If you go back to Tzadi Hamid Beis, the Gemara said V'ibay Yisema B'tanur Sholcheres. It could be that we're talking about an oven made of earthenware. But zeh seikomi b'fnim, zeh seikomi b'chutz, an earthenware oven, since the heat is on the inside, the heat can take out tastes. The pots of chametz that Rav said you have to break, that's because they are heated from the outside. Uh-huh. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, v'nevet asakomi b'fnim, why don't you do the heat on the inside for those pots? So the Gemara says, chayes alav demitbri, you're worried that they might break. Hilchach, so the Gemara said, therefore, high kuvya, this utensil made of tile, as sekri b'chutzu, since it's heated from the outside, v'asir, you can't, with the heating, you can't take out the taste, because it's being heated from the outside, implying here that those earthenware vessels that are normally heated from the inside, the heating of the inside can take out the taste. So that's what the Gemara said. If you can say that the heating of the inside takes out the taste, so why is there a mitzvah of the Torah of kli cheres yishaver, that the earthenware vessels that have the taste of chatas in them have to be broken? Let them be heated out. So the Gemara answers, you can't heat them out again because you don't have any ovens to redo them. So the Gemara says, if you don't have ovens because you're going to make Yerushalayim dirty, so then why are you making piles of broken earthenware vessels that makes the Beis HaMikdash dirty? So you don't have any piles because the floor of the Beis HaMikdash swallows the pieces. So the Gemara then says back to that, but this that we learned, that the oven had to be made of metal. Why is it made of metal? You can make it out of earthenware and the heat on the inside will clean it out. So the Gemara says, no, that's for a separate reason why it has to be made out of metal, because you can't have a kli shares made out of earthenware. Now, starting Tzadi Vavamid Beis, Vafilu Rabbi Yos Rabbi Yehuda, even Rabbi Yos Rabbi Yehuda and Masechta Sukkah, who says you can have a ministering utensil made out of wood, that's wood, but Lo Kamar Elo De'etz, he allowed a ministering utensil out of wood, Avol D'Cheres Lo, but he never allowed ministering utensil made out of earthenware.
So if the fire was directly inside, like the tanur, regular tanurs,
yeah,
then make bread, then it would be okay.
According to this view, right? That's right, according to this view. We don't paskin this way, but this was a view.
Not in Kli Cheres, no?
Correct, we don't accept this, but this was such an opinion, that Kli Cheres also can be purged through fire through Liban.
Is that why
just as an interesting historical aside, when Rabbi Goren became the chief rabbi of the military, 1948, so kashrus was a very big problem, especially before Pesach. So there was a lot of pressure to just allow the military to eat chametz. They didn't have any food in Israel. So he relied on this opinion, and he purged out the earthenware vessels. He said, well, since there is such an opinion, and the, you know, because of the difficulties of war, and to try to make sure that there is some level of kashrus, he did rely on this to purge out the earthenware vessels.
Is that why the earthenware cannot be kosherized for Pesach?
Yeah.
That's reason.
It's not kosher bichlal.
That's right.
So you can rely on the minority opinion or like stretching it a little bit?
That's what he did. I'm not sure others would have agreed, but he actually did that because, yeah, as Jason points out, Shas HaTchak, it was a bad...
Right.
Situation. You didn't have a choice. What are you going to do? You're stuck.
Right.
And he had this major agenda. Right. He thought at least have something. At least have something. So now going back to the topic of the Mishnah began with blood of a chatas going into a garment. Then it moved on to talking about tastes going into earthenware, and then tastes going into metal. And then the next Mishnah discussed all sorts of different ways in which tastes go into metal, both cooking as well as pouring would get taste going into the metal. So now, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda have a ragil kamei de Rami Bar Chama. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda used to be a student who was always learning in front of Rami Bar Chama. And then he decided he would find a better teacher. Shavkei, so he left his teacher, Rami Bar Chama, for Azal Rav Sheshes. And he went to learn from Rav Sheshes. So Yom Echad, so one day, Pagabe. So Rami Bar Chama met his former student, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda. So Rami Bar Chama was a little upset. Amar Le, so he said to him, what are you, you know, you think you're going to hang out with the fancy people, you become a fancy person? He said, well, you know, what's going on? He said, he said, you know about you, alakafta naktan reicha asile liyad. You know, the Duke holds me by my hand. So because he's holding me, so the perfume of the palace is also on my hand. In other words, you know, arrogant people think that they need to hang around the wealthy people, the powerful people, so that will rub off on them. They'll also be powerful. They'll also be viewed as wealthy. They'll be viewed as cool. So, I mean, that's what's going on. You know, you had a Rebbe. You leave me to go be with Rav Sheshes. You know, that's Mishum Da'azalei Lach Lekamed Rav Sheshes. Because you're going to go be in front of Rav Sheshes. You think now you're going to be Rav Sheshes? You think you're with Rav Sheshes? The perfume of Rav Sheshes is going to rub off on you. You know, what was wrong with me? I was your Rebbe. So Amar Lei, so Rav Yitzchak said, I'll tell you what was wrong with you. Here's the reason what was wrong with you. Lav, I'm not looking to be arrogant. But there's another reason why I went to learn from Rav Sheshes. Because Mar, when I was your student, you, my master, Kibina Milsa, whenever I'd ask you something, Pashali Misvara, you'd resolve it from logic. You'd say, well, you know, I think this, and therefore the following. V'chimishkachna masnisa prichula. But you know what? You're just an Amora. So when I find a Brisa against your logic, that's it. Your logic is out the door. So I would ask you a question. You'd say, I think the answer is like this. Then I find a Brisa against you. I used to think halacha was the way you said. I found the brisa that it's not that way. That's it. So now what you taught me was totally gone. But Rav Sheshes, kibayinu milsa minei, when I ask a question to Rav Sheshes, pashli masnisa, he always resolves it with a brisa. He tells me there's a brisa of Tanaim. It said the following. Dechinan mishkachna masnisa, even when I later find a brisa against it, upircha, so now I have a problem, a contradiction. So what? Masnisu, masnisi, it's not such a big deal. Two different opinions, right? So his brisa is one opinion, my brisa is another opinion. That's okay. One Tana is saying one way, one Tana is saying another way. The brisos were lessons of Tanayim that didn't make it into the Mishnah. So Rami Bar Chama, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, Rav Sheshes, all three of them are Amoraim. Amoraim can't argue with a Braisa. So he said, you know, when I go to you and you just tell me what you think so that you're an Amora, then I find a Braisa against you. So now you're wrong because you can't go against the Tana. But when I go to Rav Sheshes, he doesn't just tell me what he thinks. He tells me a Braisa. So then if I find another Braisa against him, okay, so it's an argument of Tanaim. That's fine. A Tana can be against another Tana because he's not changing his own opinion, an Amora opinion. He's saying what a Braisa says. So that's why I left you to go to Rav Sheshes.
Isn't that both the same, Rabbi? You know,
what's the same?
The brighter, you know, he comes out at the end of the day, he's like a different opinion for everything.
No, but an Amora can't argue with a Braisa.
Because it happened earlier.
The Braisa for the Tanaim.
But a Mishnah trumps a Braisa.
Yeah.
Because here it's interpreting everything as Mishnah, doesn't think about it.
Many times we have, what, when they translate the word Masnisa as Mishnah?
Mishnah.
I don't think so.
I'm not here either.
Yeah, look, yeah.
Right. The art school says it as Braisa.
Yeah.
Oh, here it says Mishnah.
All right, I think Masnisa is Braisa normally. So Amar Lei, so Rami Bar Chama said back to Rav Yitzchak, give me a chance. Buy me nine milsa. Ask me something. Divshadlachki Masnisa. And I will resolve it from logic, and you'll find that the Braises do agree with me. I said, okay, fine, I'll ask you a question. By me, Rav Yitzchak asked Rami Bar Chama, Bishob Miktas Kli. Let's say you cooked the meat of the carbon and only part of the vessel, part of the earthenware, part of the metal vessel. Let's say you part of the vessel was in the fire, part was out of the fire. Tom Riko Shtifa. Oh, ain't so. So do you say that the entire vessel now needs to be purged and washed? Or is it just that part of the vessel that was in the fire that absorbed the taste that needs to be purged and washed? Amar Lei, so he said, okay, I'll tell you. Ain't so. The part that was not in the fire does not need Mariko Shtifa, does not need to be purged and washed. Same way we have a halacha in regard to blood that goes into a garment. If the blood of the chatas goes into the garment, we learned in a Mishnah, you only have to wash out the blood. You don't have to wash out the whole garment. So just like there, you only have to wash out that part. So too, if it's the metal, mariko shtifa, and only part of the metal has gotten the taste, because only part of it was in the fire, the rest of the metal doesn't need mariko shtifa. So Rav Yitzchak said back to Rami Bar Chama, okay, as always, I have a braisa against you. But we didn't find that way in that braisa. So we didn't, well, one second, he hasn't quoted the braisa yet. He said first, Valo Taniyachi, but I don't have any braisa like that. Rami Bar Chama said, Mistabra Kivegit. Again, my point is logic. We learned in the Mishnah that blood in a garment, you just have to wash out where the blood is. So probably a vessel is going to be like a garment. So just like in a vessel, just like in a garment, it's only the part that was affected that you need to deal with. So too, in a vessel, it's only the part that's affected that needs to be dealt with. So ma begad eino ton kibus ela makum dam. Just like in a garment, it's the place with the blood that has to be washed out. Afkli, so too in a metal vessel. And Tom Riku Shtifa doesn't need purging and washing. El b'makom bishul. Only that part that was cooked and that absorbed the taste. So Amar Lei, so Rav Yitzchak said back, Midzami, what's the comparison? Dam lo mefa'apeya. Blood doesn't spread in a garment. But bishul mefa'apeya, but when you cook a taste into metal, the taste filters through, it spreads through. Oh, and again, here, now he quotes the Braisa. Tanya, I have a Braisa against you. The Braisa's listing the severity of the obligation to do the laundry, and it says to launder out a vessel that had blood in it. Chomer bahaza mimariko shtifa. There's a stringency to blood that gets onto a garment more than the law of purging and washing out a metal vessel. Then there are laws about washing, about purging and washing out a metal vessel that are more stringent than blood in a garment. There's a stringency to garments. It applies to all blood. So whether the blood is of a chatas that's on the outer altar or the blood is of a chatas of the inner altar, if it goes onto a garment, the garment has to be washed out. It applies to blood before the blood was thrown onto the mizbeach. Unlike that is mariko shtifa. Mariko shtifa doesn't apply to the meat of the inner karbanos, the inner chatos. It only applies to meat of a chatas chitzona, a chatas that's on the outer altar. And it doesn't apply to meat of a karban before the blood of that karban was thrown onto the mizbeach. It's only after the blood was thrown onto the mizbeach. Okay. On the other hand, chomer b'mariko shtifa, there's a stringency to the law of purging and washing out a metal utensil, more than the way in which we treat a garment. Shamariko shtifa no heges bein b'kachim kachim bein b'kachim kalim. Mariko shtifa applies both in kachim kachim, and it applies in kachim kalim. It applies to the meat of a chatas, it applies to the meat of a shlamim. It applies, and here's the problem with you, bishel b'mikza sakli. If you only cooked in part of the utensil, ton mariko shtifa kol akli, the entire utensil has to be purged. The entire utensil has to be washed. Mash enkin baza. And in that way, it's different than a garment. A garment, you only have to wash out that part of the garment that has the blood in it. What you see. So you see against Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama said, well, Itanya, if there is such a brisa, Tanya, then I have to change my mind. So after it all, you know, now you sort of understand why Rav Yitzchak left Rami Bar Chama. So now the Gemara says, V'taima mai. Now why is this halacha that if part of the utensil is cooked, the other part wasn't used to for cooking, the whole thing has to be cleaned out. The commentators here explain, Marik, we understand, we just said, because the taste spread, so you have to purge out the whole thing, but why do you have to wash the whole thing too? I'm across from the Pasuk says, V'im b'klina choshas bushala, u'morak v'shutaf b'mayim. It says, and if in a copper utensil it was cooked, it has to be purged and washed out. That sounds like even if only part of it was cooked, only part of the utensil is used for the cooking, the entire utensil has to be purged and washed out. The Mishnah says that this law of purging out the metal utensils applies to all karbanos, whether it's kachim kachim or kachim kalim. Rabbi Shimon disagrees. He says kachim kalim don't need Marika u shtifa. Tadar Rabban only did a brisa. The pasuk says, chapter 6 of Vayikra, verse 18. Zos Torah hachatos. This is the law of the chatos. Ein liela chatos. Maybe it's only chatos requires Mariko shtifa. Kala kachim inayin. I don't know if it applies to all karbanos. Tamlom, that's what it says. Kodesh kadashim hi. It is the holiest of holies.
Wait, the blood of chatas was really
tameh? Why do you say it's tameh? It has to be cleaned out.
Sounds like tameh to me. I don't know.
No, it has to be cleaned out because of nosar issues, because the blood taste becomes nosar, now you can't use it, so you have to clean it out.
Sterilize it.
Exactly, you have to sterilize it from the taste. So the Gemara says, Yachal shani mar bes achuma. Well, if you're saying it's things that are holy, so maybe even if you cook truma in a pot, you'd have to purge out the pot. No, Talmud, this is the pasuk says, Kol zachar b'konim yochal osa. It says about Mariko Shtifa, chapter 6, verse 22, where all the males of the Kohanim will eat from it, prat the truma, to exclude truma, which doesn't need Mariko Shtifa, divrei Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, Kadshe Kadshim, Tuna Mariko Shtifa. This we had in our Mishnah too. Kadshe Kadshim, their meat cooked in a metal pot need purging and rinsing. Kachim kalam into the mriku shtifa, but kachim kalam don't need mriku shtifa. The chesikul of pasuk says, kodesh kadoshim, it is holy of holy. So kachim kachim in, but kachim kalam lo. Kachim kachim have to be washed out, but not kachim kalam.
If the reason is no, sir, then why not?
On a special pasuk. And the pasuk also becomes no same time lefgam. You know, after a day, it's a bad taste. So it's not such an issue anymore. It's a weak taste.
So the metal has to be cleaned up, the whole thing, even though a portion was being used.
Yeah, that was the last discussion. Now we're talking about what taste would require us to purge out the metal. Is it all karbanos or is it only kache karbanos? So now the Gemara says, my time, Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Well, the Pasuk did say, Kodesh Kadashim. So why doesn't Rabbi Yehuda say that Kodesh Kadashim tastes have to be purged out, but Kadshei Kalam tastes don't have to be purged out? So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yehuda will tell you like this, Mitzvah Osalim Uta Chuma, since you have a special word, Osa, to say that Chuma tastes do not have to be purged out. So then that sounds like Mechal de Kachay Kalam Tunum Chmiku Shtifa. Because if you're going to say that even Kachay Kalam, Shlamim and Toda, those tastes don't have to be purged out. So I would say if Shlamim and Toda tastes don't have to be purged out, certainly Chuma tastes don't have to be purged out. Chuma is less holy than Shlamim and Toda. So the fact that we have a special pasuk for Chuma implies that Shlamim and Toda do have to be purged out. Rabbi Shimon Omer Lecha, and Rabbi Shimon will tell you, the fact that it said kachay kachim is to exclude kachim kalim. Why do you need the word osa? It's actually not for truma. It's kedar minan. It's for what is he himself said, that he said it's to teach you something else. That if the blood of chatas splatters from chatas its pasul, then the garment does not have to be washed out. So it's for a different halacha entirely, that he believes that a chatas that has become disqualified and the blood splatters on a garment, the garment doesn't have to be washed out.
Right.
Ask the Gemara, Chuma lo baya shtifu marika, is it true that when you have tastes of chuma in a pot, you don't need to purge out the pot? As Fred says, these are issues of kashering, but it's not in a braisa. If you have a pot and you use it to cook meat, you can't now use it to cook milk. Vim bishalba, and if you did make a mistake and cooked milk in it after you cooked meat, but no same time, we have to see if there's the taste of meat in the milk. We bring a non-Jew, we have him taste, and if he says there's the taste of meat here, then the whole thing is treif. Truma, if you use the pot to cook truma, lo yivashal b'chulin, you can't now cook non-truma in it, chulin, because now you cook the chulin, it's going to have the taste of truma, it'll have the status of truma. Vim bishal, and if you did cook with it, in no same time, you're going to have a Kohen come taste it. If the Kohen says there's the taste of Chuma here, then only Kohanim can eat it and non-Kohanim can't eat it. So you see that the tastes matter. So if tastes matter of Chuma, so then if you cook the pot with Chuma, now you want to use it for Chulin, you have to purge out the pot. So why are you saying that Chuma doesn't have a law of Mriko Shtifa? Samra Abaya, Abaya explain, when we say that Chuma doesn't need Mriko Shtifa, it's not that you don't need to purge it. You certainly have to purge it if you want to get the tastes out. But Lo Tzricha, the point is, El Adamar Mar, for another law that we learned. We just learned, as Baruch reminded us, Bishul B'Miktzas Kli, if only part of the utensil was used for cooking, the rest of the utensil was left out of the fire. Nevertheless, Ta'on, Mariko, Shtifa, Kalakli, the entire utensil needs to be purged and washed. Hachuma lo tzarech, but in Truma, that wouldn't be the case. You just have to get the taste out. So, Elamakum Bishul, the part of the utensil that was cooked, that place where there was a cooking and the taste went in, there you'd have to get the taste out, but you don't have to purge out the entirety of the utensil. Rav Amar, Rav said, Lo tzricha, the point of the braisa says, El Damar Mar, for this that we learned, the pasuk says umorak v'shutaf b'mayim, that since it says about mariko shtifa that the utensil has to be purged with water, it means b'mayim v'lo b'yayin, has to be purged with water. It can't be another liquid. It can't be wine. B'mayim v'lo b'mazlik, it has to be pure water, not water that's mixed with wine. But when you have chuma tastes, yes, you want to get rid of the taste. You need to purge it. You can use other liquids too. Afilu b'yayin v'afilu b'mazik. You can even use wine. You can even use diluted wine. You don't have to use only water. Rabbi Bar Ula Amar, Rabbi Ula explained another suggestion about, you know, what does it mean that Truma doesn't need purging? Lo tzricha, that's to tell you, El Damar Mar, for the following law that we're going to learn, Mariko Shtifa Bitzoni, that after the purging of the holy vessel, they would then wash it out on the inside and on the outside with cold water. Whereas Truma, ha, afilu b'chamin, but Truma, you just need to get the tastes out. So you only need to use hot water to get out the taste. You don't need to wash it out inside and outside with cold water. So Gemara says, one second. Ani chalamada mariko shtifa bitzonin. That's fine if you say that this law of mariko shtifa means that after the purging, you would then wash it out on the inside and the outside with cold water. According to the opinion that mariko b'cham nushtifa bitzonin, that when you purge the metal utensils, the inside is still with hot, it's only the outside with cold. So then in what way is Truma different that it doesn't need purging? The difference is, the outside, the washing it outside with cold water. Shtifa yaserta. Then if it was Truma that was cooked in a utensil, all you need to do is wash it out with hot water on the inside to purge out the taste. You don't need to then wash it out again on the outside with cold water. Next Mishnah. What is Marika? What is Shtifa? Rabbi Tarfon, Rabbi Tarfon says, Bishel, and how often do you have to do Mariko Shtifa? Bishel, if you were cooking a metal with a metal utensil, karbanos, mitchilas haregel, from the beginning of a Yom Tov, let's say the beginning of Sukkis, Yavashel bo kol haregel, you can keep using this to keep cooking with it the whole Yom Tov. After Yom Tov, you do the Mariko Shtifa. Chacham Raman, no, atzof zman achila, adzman achila, right? It's only the amount of time of eating that karban. Let's say the karban was a toda, you have a day for the toda. After that day, you have to do mariko shtifa to use this utensil. Because of nosar tastes, exactly. What is mariko shtifa? Not tuma, but taste. Mariko, what is marika? Marika's kimarika sakos, it's washing on the inside. Like when you wash out a utensil, a cup for Kiddush. Shtifa, and shtifa means kishtifa sakos. It's the washing of a cup on the outside. According to this opinion, mariko shtifa bitzoni. Mariko and shtifa are both cold water after it already was purged. Now says the Mishnah, nu alach hashpud, the metal spit. Askla is the grill top, the grill mesh. So the shpud, the metal stick that you put the pieces of shish kebab on, or the askala, the grill that you put the skewers on, right? The askala, the net of metal on which you roast the meat. So they have tastes, and tastes now become nosar. So how do you kasher them? So mag'ilan b'chamin, all you need to do is to put them into boiling water.
But they have to come out with a flame.
Right. So we would have thought that you'd have to have a flame to make it come out. So we're going to see. The Gemara is going to explain. This is the concept called hetera bala. When it went in, it was kosher, the taste. Then while inside, it became non-kosher. Because nosar is a day later. So since it went in while kosher, even though it went in one way, you don't have to take it out that way. You can take it out a lesser way. You can take it out with hagala, even though it went in with direct fire, because hetera bala, it went in a permitted way. It's not the same thing as using a spit to grill pork, because then the taste going in is treif, and the taste going in is treif, then the only way to take it out would be with a direct flame. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashi,